Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday. I'm joined in the studio once again with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing today, Letitia?
We're doing good. I actually, you paused a little bit too long before you were going to do your intro and yeah. I was about to start the Duloc song.
Oh no. Yeah. So I'm lucky I kind of got in there and
yeah,
started
I was
doing
seconds
my thing.
Away from, but then I didn't want to interrupt you.
I had to do a little warm-up jig. I don't know if you saw that, just so I could get into podcast mode.
I'm in front of you.
You were right there. Yep. You did see the entire thing. Yep. But yes, no, I can't just go into, it's like, you know, doing the like thing from
High School Musical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm in the mode now. I'm ready to do some podcasting. And how has your week been since we last saw you?
It's been a bit of a crazy mental week, actually. Mm. I finished one book, which is like whatever. It's not really that important. Started Carrie Fisher's Postcards from the Edge, which I've seen the movie with Meryl Streep and
Shirley MacLaine. Telling me that you watched that at mm-hmm. some point. Good?
I love the movie. The book's very different structurally, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm about like maybe 90 pages in, so I haven't been like speed reading it or anything. But that's been good. I did some writing on Thursday because I took work off. I was sick. Anyway.
People do listen to this.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's legitimate. And then, you saw me on Friday losing my mind at work.
I did. I came in and I witnessed the chaos that was your job for Friday.
Yeah. If anyone knows where I work, a certain someone came into store and caused chaos. Anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Absolute chaos. And I don't have to deal with that anymore. I'm on the other side of the fence, but I still have to come in store for my job as well. But just to sit back and watch this particular person cause absolute chaos and not take some self-realization that he's doing that is wild. I just love it. I was having a really good day.
I could tell. I was not. I was having a bad day.
Absolutely fantastic day because I'm like, oh, nothing's changed.
That's all I'll get to on that one. Yeah. I was trying to look for the pretty lights that were supposed to be in the sky, like the Aurora Borealis. But you can't see that in where we are because it's raining, so that sucked.
It's been cloudy for days now.
Yeah, but I got up this morning, went for a walk in the rain because I was
Did you actually get up? You said you were going to, you were like, oh, I need to go for a walk. I feel like I need to start doing stuff like that a little bit
more. I need to be more fit, yes. So I did that. I went on my little...
Yeah, props to that because it's been raining periodically for like a day straight and... It's kind of miserable outside. It's starting to get into winter. It's getting a bit colder.
Miserable.
It's not a great day outside today. So props to you for getting up and doing some exercise. Yeah. I surely didn't.
I got up, had a shower, did some washing.
Good for you.
Yep. And also it's Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day today. I know this is going to be out of sequence from when you hear this, guys. But yeah, it is Mother's Day. So wish all your mothers a happy day. If you don't get to see them, definitely give them a call as well. I'll be giving my mother a call later on this evening and checking in and see how her day went.
But yeah, that's been me so far. And then I just watched some stuff this week.
Yeah, I've had a pretty chaotic week myself actually, and you've kind of been bear witness to a little bit of it. I've had to do a little bit of presenting. So I know part of my job is, without going into detail, is I have to do kind of PowerPoint presentations to a degree in front of like a group of people. And I had to do about five of them since the last time we recorded. And they're quite early in the morning, these presentations. So I have to get up quite early. One of them was like, I had to get up at like 5:30 or something to get up and get ready and get in the mood. Because there's one thing getting up in the morning and having just to go somewhere. There's one thing getting up in the morning, going somewhere, and then actually being presentable in front of a large group of people. It's a lot. So this week has been quite draining for me for that. But I've only got one left. I've got one next week. And then that's kind of done with our kind of half a year presentation mode that we go through with my job. It only happens like twice a year. So, yeah, one every 6 months. I can handle that, you know, for 2 weeks.
Oh, he'll do it. He'll do his best.
I'll do my very best. In terms of watching wise this week, though, I had a bit of a kind of complete your TV shows kind of week.
Oh, that's nice. Which is mine really was good. Pretty slack, but go on.
I finally finished Fallout. I only had like 2 episodes left. And I notice I do this with TV shows.
I have noticed this too.
I will either leave the last episode or 1 or 2 episodes left. I don't know if it's because I'm like, then it's done and I feel sad, or, you know, because I've always got story to go when I leave an episode or two. Maybe it's unconscious. I don't know. Or it's just like, I'll get to that later and something else pops up and then I keep doing that. And it's a snowball effect, I feel.
Yeah. You're very good at this. I'm almost compulsively the opposite. Like, yeah, I have to finish it. Even if I don't really like it. If I've committed enough time to it,
yeah,
it's got to be finished. Otherwise, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I still never finished watching that thing, and you've got to, yeah, got to get to it.
Yeah.
Like, I stopped watching Shameless. I watched 3 seasons and I stopped. And I'm like, I've got to get back to that. But I'm like, no, because you've got other stuff you need to watch. But in the back of my head, it's still like, hey, do you want to finish that? And then like 6 Feet Under, watched a couple seasons of that, didn't finish that.
Yeah, exactly. You never...
No, I've been busy.
I know. It's and also they're big shows.
And I started Succession.
You smashed through that.
I bought Succession yesterday.
Did you? Oh, because it's 20%
off.
There
was a nice deal, which I won't go into specifics, but yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, so I finished off Fallout finally, which I, you know, I'm a fan of the game anyway. Not so much the mechanics, but the game lore I love. So we'll go into that in our separate episode. But I was really satisfied with how it ended and where it's going to go into season two. So I'm very excited for that. And I finished off High Country.
Yeah. We plugged this one really hard, guys.
We really did at the start of the year, because obviously we went to the Actor Festival around like February or March. I forget when it was. And they had a panel there with Lea Purcell. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, it was really cool to see her and talk about her experience in making this show. And one of the other actors was just like sitting literally behind us, which was kind of cool. And we were pretty pumped for this show to come out because the reel was really, really cool.
Yeah, the trailer was sick.
Yeah. But then like when the show came out, it was week to week and didn't realize it was going to be, and then started watching it. And I don't know if that actually helped it or hindered it. In my opinion, I think it hindered it because I didn't have any kind of buy into the characters that were being shown on screen. The actual... like overarching mystery was not front and center for most episodes. So when you go the week to week to week, you kind of forget about like certain intricacies of what happened the episode before. And also I'll be completely honest. I'm starting to forget people's names besides even the main actress's name of Lea Purcell's character, like Andy. That's it. That's pretty much the only character I remember. And Kira was the daughter, cause she kept saying Kira.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, I'm trying to think. And I'm like,
Sammy was the other old cop that retired.
Yeah, Sam, because she said his name a lot.
Yeah, but that's, what's the partner's name?
I'm trying to think.
Right? It was like one of those series that I think it just had too many ideas that didn't quite come together cohesively towards the end. So I finished that series off. I had like 2 episodes of that to go and I was unfortunately disappointed because I had really high hopes for it because usually Australian thriller mysteries about, you know, murder mysteries and stuff is really good. It's one of our things that we do well, but I was just a little bit left wanting more from this.
Yeah, I was bummed out about it too. And I think it suffered from Australia's development time now on shows is very short.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, it suffered from that, just having not enough time in development to really get the scripts tight.
Yeah, I feel like the issue was the writing. To be honest.
Yeah, and those people have written incredible TV before, so it's not a lack of talent. I think it's just a lack of time.
Because it was the people from behind Wentworth. Which
and they've done a ton of other stuff.
I mean, that went gangbusters. It's been adapted all around the world into different versions and stuff. It was huge, but this just didn't quite hit the mark. I don't know why. Yeah, besides the writing part of it where I think a few more time, like you said, time on rewrites and a bit more to that would have probably helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but, you know, finish that off.
It's a bummer.
I will also talk about one movie that I watched this week that came out on Netflix. You might have seen it pop up in your new and noteworthy kind of list. It's not noteworthy, but it's called Unfrosted.
I've heard about this.
Mm, it's the Jerry Seinfeld written and directed Wars movie. It's really rough. It's a really rough experience. It's got a bunch of, you know, like pretty big named actors and actresses in this film. It's just, it feels like one giant SNL skit or like multiple SNL skits in the one
right
like premise
yeah.
for 2 hours or like an hour and a half.
There's a reason SNL skits are about 5 minutes, if that.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's just, it's a lot. It's chaos. Another thing is, and just brief, I guess, synopsis. I won't go into detail. It's like, it's set in the 60s. It's about these two warring companies, Kellogg and forget the other one. Doesn't matter.
Not irrelevant. Kellogg.
Not Kellogg. They're trying to create, you know, breakfast cereal, a new kind of revolution to breakfast cereal, essentially, because they already make that. And the whole story is about them creating the Pop-Tart. It's the Pop-Tart race wars, like who's going to create it first. And it's a satirical, really satirical version of that. It's not historical. Like this yeah. is exactly how it is. So it's like a really, really zany, really out of this world kind of experience in the 60s. And that's where in lies the issue, because every single character is playing the zany character, like every single one. Whereas most things, you know, like sitcoms or, you know, those type of shows like Seinfeld, The Office.
Yeah, comedies.
Arrested Development. They always have a grounded character, mm-hmm. the straight man, right? Yeah. What doesn't happen here is there's no straight man to ground the audience.
That's interesting because when you watched Seinfeld,
yeah.
he was
Jerry
the logical
Seinfeld
one.
Was the
Elaine yeah. was the, I'm gonna swear, sorry, bitch or bastard character.
Yeah.
Kramer was in his own world.
And yeah.
and George was a lovable loser.
Yeah.
And like that's comedy archetypes. Like I've studied it for ages, like and it works. Obviously it works. It's interesting to see Jerry Seinfeld not well, take that concept of
it's interesting because
archetypes.
Yeah, I just think there's an issue with him writing and directing because this is his entire project, right? Like
right.
when he was with Seinfeld, he worked with Larry David. So I think Larry David definitely helped him, guided him through that process of writing and how to make it project to screen. Because when you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, you can feel the Seinfeld elements in that show. It's very different, but like it's still there.
Yeah.
It's a great show, by the way. Everyone check it out. If you're a fan of Seinfeld, definitely check out Curb Your Enthusiasm. This has a really good like cameo moment that I'm like, this would have been great in a better film. It has, like it's set in the 60s, right? And they're marketing Pop-Tarts once they create it. So who better to get than the two lead actors out of Mad Men? They're in it, playing That's their amazing. Characters from Mad Men, trying to market this thing. It's actually really great. But little moments like that get lost in the bigger picture because it's just not a very good film. So I was really disappointed by that too because obviously I love Seinfeld. Like it's one of my favorite shows. And then to see this, it's just
yeah,
bitterly disappointed.
Side note, have you ever had a Pop-Tart?
Once, like ages ago. Yeah.
Are they good?
Not really.
No. I've never had one.
Very Americanized. So a lot of sugar. A lot of sugar. Like just imagine sugar flavor.
Yeah.
like in a weird wafery biscuit and some what could be fruit in the middle, but it's not.
Right. If you guys are American and you eat Pop-Tarts, write in. I want to hear about it.
There's a few different versions. You can get the frosted or unfrosted versions.
Yeah, because you watched the movie?
No, I knew that already. But so it's called unfrosted because the original version of the Pop-Tart didn't have the frosting.
Right.
So it was just a plain old strawberry or berry fruit Pop-Tart. And then later in the years, that's when they added different
versions.
It
sounds disgusting. Do you toast them?
Yeah. That's why there's two in the box. Because the toaster has generally two slots.
Fascinating. There's a whole thing. I wasn't even allowed Fruit Loops as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. Occasionally Cocoa Pops, but
yeah, it was
like on school holidays or something.
Ours was whatever was cheap.
Yeah, right.
Which is usually like, here's no-name cornflakes. And I'm like, oh, look, I like it, but still.
Yeah, I got forced to eat a lot of Just Right, which is not what a child wants to eat.
No, it's like Special K.
Yeah. Or Sultana brand. It's the worst one.
Thank God I didn't have to have those versions of cereal. Every now and then we'd get the little 8-pack boxes where you get the mini little ones and you'd get a mixture of all the different cereals. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the best time.
I used to force my dad into buying me Milo cereal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Delicious. You see that at the box.
We had a lot of Nutri-Grain.
Oh, so love Nutri-Grain.
Dad loved Nutri-Grain. So it was always in the house and I love Nutri-Grain as well. So it was like a pretty common go-to.
Yep.
Breakfast cereal.
I was allowed that one.
Oh, it's because, all the athletes.
Iron Man food.
The athletes eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Anyway, cereal chat. 2024. Should we get into the topic of today?
I think so, because the only other movie I watched out of this list was, I just had a rewatch of Lost in Translation.
I did see that in your Letterboxd.
Like, you know when you watch a movie and you've seen it a couple times, but a while ago, and then you go, do I love this or am I just romanticizing my
idea of it, yeah.
Nope, still love it.
It's a great film.
It's such a great good film.
I remember you let me borrow it and I was like,
did I? Yeah, is that how you watched it?
Yeah, it was ages ago. Cool. It was when we first kind of like started to kind of like hang out. I was like, oh, I haven't seen it. And you're like, oh, I've got it. And you let me borrow it. And yeah, I remember watching.
Is that when you were living in Milton?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, I was trying to remember.
Yeah, good stuff. Just for the audience, before we get into cracking into the thing, I've popped up a few more reviews on our page. I do have, definitely by the time this goes up, I'll have Challenges up as well as a review. I'll have also Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes up and also The Fall Guy. So the three of those will be up by the time this goes live. So please check that out on our Instagram page if you want a bit of a brief thought on my thoughts on those films. But yeah, I've just popped up Civil War and what was the other one I popped up? I can't remember now. Oh, Roadhouse.
I have watched Roadhouse. Them. Don't get me wrong. Like, I've watched them. I just don't remember.
At this point, I'm like, which ones have I made? Because I kind of did a few in succession.
Yeah, and also,
I just had a wardrobe change.
I barely use social media right now.
No,
so.
Yeah, you're off the grid at the moment. So I'm riding solo on the Instagram page.
And I mean, I do use it.
I know. You do the stories a lot more, which is great. It really helps me out. But I'm doing the reviews, which is fun. I'm really enjoying these. It's a lot of fun.
Alrighty, let's get into it. So basically we decided we'd do a week where you guys suggest it and we'll stream it just so we can watch some stuff that you guys want us to watch. And I had a lot of fun watching a bunch of stuff. Some of it I'd already seen, others I'd planned on seeing, and then some things I'd never even thought of watching. But I had, had a good week. Do you want to start with one that you've watched or?
I will. I'll crack into it. So this is a great suggestion. Like, I like doing this. This is fun.
Yeah.
Like, getting people to write in and just pick. It's a really random, versatile list of stuff that we got to watch this week. First off, suggested by Madison, got to watch Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs from 2009.
Yeah, I got to watch this one too. So I thought I'd seen the first one for sure school when I was like, I don't know, late primary or early high school. No, it turns out I'd seen the second one. So this was fun for me to watch.
So I watched one and two this week. I watched both of them because they were made pretty much back to back, like one and then one year later. I love this one. I thought it was fantastic. Mm. It had a lot of heart. I don't know why I didn't watch these when they came out, but then I kind of thought back. I'm like, 2009, where was I? 19/2021 when they came out. I wasn't really watching films like I was now. Not animated ones.
I don't know how I missed this. I was like 11, 12 years old.
Prime age for like animated movies.
But I was talking about this to my sister as well. When you're a kid, it's fun because you're watching animated stuff and the voice of those characters, you always associate with those characters.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm older and it's the other way around. I'm like hearing these people, I'm like, oh my God, that's Bill Hader. And I was so in love with him being like this sad little kid who just like glued shoes to his feet. Like,
I'm
obsessed with this.
Where he's like, how are you going to get them off? And he's like, no. It was so good. Bill Hader did a good job, but I personally didn't recognize him at first.
I think I did. I was like, oh my God.
I recognized Andy Samberg straight away.
I didn't even notice that. I was typing up the cast. I was like, oh my God, of course it was Andy.
And then you listen back, you're like, I picked up his straight away. And then it's Anna Faris as the lead. I forget her name of the actual character. But it's the lead love interest.
Yeah, she's the reporter.
She's the reporter,
girl.
The weather girl. Who's a huge nerd as well.
I love this, honestly. Yeah, it was good.
I really enjoyed the first one, probably more than the second one. The second one was fine. It was
I remember
okay.
bits of the second one. I think I'd watched it at school, but obviously because I hadn't seen the first one, it didn't really mean much to me, which now makes sense.
To me, the first one was like, not like in this universe, it was the perfect film because it was like, cool, it's an underdog story. He's got to prove himself. He does. And he's got to kind of like save the town at the end of the day. The second one was like, well, it's like, what do we do now? Because it can continue straight on to the second one in terms of story-wise. It's literally just movie ends, movie starts, kind of like for the second one. The second one's one of those classic sequel type things. It's like the downfall of the hero character. Yep. So he's getting manipulated by someone in the second one and he kind of becomes kind of, quote unquote, a kind of a dick character throughout the most of this film. Then he has a redemption at the end. And I don't know. I didn't like that arc for this character.
The only thing I remember from the sequel, and it might be because my sister used to quote it, it might not be, is when they go, there's a leak in the boat.
Yeah.
That's all I remember from
it's
it.
It's the funniest thing. When they're, because they're in the cop car and they're riding like, ah! the spoons down yeah. the milk rapids. And then
it's kind of like a Willy Wonka too much food. And he's like, yeah.
There's a leak in the car and it's a play on words. It's an actual leak.
Yeah.
It's very funny. That was great.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of food puns in the
I don't like
one.
Puns, so.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. So the first one's just, it's just food falling from the sky, right? Mm-hmm. Like he literally just creates this like weather phenomenon.
Yeah. And it wrecks.
Delicious food.
It wrecks his poor dad's business because basically everyone stopped eating, was it sardines?
Sardines.
And so the town was known for fishing sardines. Yeah. So suddenly the town just had to keep eating sardines because the world didn't want them anymore.
Mm.
And so his dad was like, this is great. I have a sardine business. Like yeah. I'm a fisher dude. This is great.
He's just a fisherman. Like one of those really like straight and hard to the yep. core male yep. types. And his son isn't that. So it was a really good dynamic between James Caan was fantastic. As
I loved
dad.
It. Yeah.
He was really good. There's a few other zany characters like the cops just
yeah.
unhinged as well. He's like, wearing yeah, those really like, small, tidy, whitey, like shorts.
Like
the whole
time. I had a high school teacher that did gym and he did steroids. He was in the Aquaman movie as like just like a buff dude.
He was
like
a Dorito. Extra. So he was a.
Yeah. No, I'm not even kidding. He definitely was. And he used to wear short shorts. And we're like, sir.
Sir.
Please. Although, surprisingly, I don't think he was one of the pedophiles, but go figure.
Yeah. Look, it's quite on set. It was a bit disappointing that they changed the from Mr. T as that character yeah. to Terry Crews. Although Terry Crews did a good job, but
he's not Mr. T.
He's no Mr. T. They swapped the actresses around. So I thoroughly recommend at least checking out the first one. And if you're gonna watch the first one, watch the second one.
I had so much fun.
In my opinion, it's not as good, but it's still okay.
I probably will rewatch the second one properly yeah. now that I've seen the first one because I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. I feel like the second one, they avoid the love interest aspect like the first one. Like, so he's obviously interested in Anna Faris.
Yeah, he falls in love with Sam Sparks.
And then they kiss and all that towards the end. And it doesn't really even come up in the second one. Like,
are they just friends?
Well, kind of like.
Or like she's mad because it never.
No, it just doesn't really get addressed.
Oh.
You know, like it's not really a thing. And it's like, okay. Everyone's just along for this adventure, you know, because they yeah. go back to the island where the food all fell and it's become like a kind of like a rainforesty kind of.
Yeah. So did they leave the island?
They, at the start of the second one, they get forced to leave the island by this, that company that comes in.
Yeah.
So they can clean it up.
Of course.
With all the food. But this company can't like clean it up. They're trying to find the machine that was in the first one. Yeah. It's so funny. The company's called Live Corp and the, after the live is a little like light bulb kind of picture and it's like, oh, how did we not see it? And they just like mirror the image of the logo and across of the little three dots from the light bulb, it goes that, then V-I-L, the Live Corp. So it's like evil. And it's like, oh no, how did we not see it? And so it turns out they're a sinister organization just there to get their like better themselves.
I like that.
It was pretty cool. That was the one I saw.
The other one that I watched this week that I absolutely loved is Isaac told us that we should watch Blade Runner 2049. Mm. And I've been avoiding this since it came out, mostly because I missed it in cinemas the year it was out. I think I was probably like, I was in uni, I was busy. And then I'd studied Blade Runner in high school. So I kind of didn't want to rewatch Blade Runner anytime soon because I'd written an essay on it and like picked it to shreds. So I'd sort of just been putting this off and then I'd rewatched Blade Runner a couple of years ago intending to rewatch this, like watch this, never happened.
And then didn't do it again.
It's one of those things. So I sat down this week and oh my God, was I enthralled. Mm-hmm. Like I had my friend texting me and I was like, can you like respectfully stop because I'm watching Blade Runner and I can't look away. This is absolutely stunning.
Really,
and it's very different from the original Blade Runner, less of a noir, which part of me missed the noir because I really, really like that genre of film anyway. But the fact that it didn't have a lot of those elements didn't let me down because what it did with this sci-fi was just beautiful.
Yeah, it's a fantastic modern sci-fi film.
Yeah, and it had a lot of like callbacks to the original, obviously. And we're going to spoil all these because they've been out forever. So if you don't want to hear it, just skip ahead a little bit. But even when Ryan Gosling's character, Kay, does die in the end, he sort of has his like tears in the rain moment from the first one. I loved, and I can't think what her name is, but...
Ana de Armas?
No, no, the other...
The other one?
The other lead that was on, like, the quote-unquote evil side of it, but she had silhouetted a lot of the time, like, Rachel from the first one.
Robin Wright?
No.
No? I can't remember.
Who was that one that was hanging out with Jared Leto's character?
I know the one.
Yeah, and they kept silhouetting her with all the... That was the idea of it. And I was like, oh, I just...
Yeah.
It's that level of care that they put into making a like a quote-unquote legacy sequel or whatever the hell you call it now.
That's what they called.
But it was just a gorgeous film and I was so into it.
Genius way to connect the dots between the two films, I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really great story. Yeah, the fact that Kay's not
the one
that you kind of get this kind of like what premonition throughout the film as part of the story and he kind of like goes, well, my character aligns with this thing that's happening and the premonition and then you kind of get that it's not. It's great, actually. Yeah, I thought it was so good.
There's moments where it's like it could have been a girl or a guy so you think, okay, must be this other one that looks like Rachel because the mother.
Surely, right?
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all just red herrings until
you find out.
The end with that girl that you'd already cared about but forgotten about suddenly like had so much.
Yeah, it was really, really, really
to do
good.
With it.
No notes?
No, I don't think so. Or actually one note, but this is a me and not a...
not a thing.
It's just the fact that it's 2049 and we're living in this dystopian and it's like, what? No, I don't see that in a couple of years.
Well, I know. That's not really a gripe,
and that's not a gripe.
So
I just find it amusing.
It's funny when you watch things like that because I rewatched, I think it was like Escape from New York.
Yeah, any of the predictions of the future. Just
I think it was like made in like 1982, don't quote me on that. It's like early 80s.
Yeah.
And it's set in 1997. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the sequel, when I went and watched the sequel straight up, like, well, a couple of days afterwards, I watched Escape from LA. And that one's set like, I think it's like 2014. And even then I'm like, it's like more futuristic than even Escape from New York was. And I'm like, we're still 10 years ahead of
where that was. I just find it so funny when you watch it.
I enjoy it more for that aspect, actually.
Oh, I didn't dislike it. Mm. It's funny.
Yeah.
In a like, you're like, oh,
2049.
Bless them.
Because I think, isn't the first Blade Runner set in something like only like 2009 or something like that? It's like 40 years earlier or something like that.
No, I think it was set.
Like it's.
I remember watching it and it was set about
now. Because it's got Harrison Ford in
it
still.
2019?
Something like that. It's like a 30-year gap between the movies or something similar to that. To see that kind of version, like Blade Runner obviously is super sci-fi and made quite early. See that now.
2019.
Yeah, exactly. So 30 years.
So I remember watching it in high school and being like, this is only a couple of years time. And I'm like, I just don't see it. But I love the imagined world of Blade Runner so much.
So do I.
It's very cool. Very sad for women in it. They don't have much to do. But you know what? Humanity doesn't have much to do at that point. So no,
exactly. It's a bit dire anyway.
It's dire right now. So yeah, it's true, not too far from reality. Which is being grim to watch.
Yeah. I'll go into my next one suggested by Maddie. These are a lot of animated movies.
Yeah, so, Maddie loves her animated
films. So thank
you,
Maddie. Which is How to Train Your Dragon.
I didn't rewatch this week. I ran out of time, but I have seen it.
Yes. No, I have seen it recently as well and watched all three. And I can safely say that I absolutely love this trilogy. I thought it's really good. It's how did I sleep on? So I've kind of seen.
I don't know if I've seen the third one yet.
The third one's the Lost World one, where it's the friend of
Hiccup.
Yeah, the white dragon turns up.
I don't know if I've seen that one. I was in high school when this one came out. I went as a school end of term. You've been good excursion.
You can go to this.
So we all went to see How to Train Your Dragon. I was in grade 8, and I really enjoyed it. I don't think I loved it the same way as like my sister and one of our friends because they were like very. You know, when you're that age, and some of the kids are very into dragons.
Yes.
Yeah, that was my
sister.
It's
like dinosaurs and like trucks for boys.
Yeah, she was so into, my sister Ella was so into like Aragorn, the book that she used to make me try and I read it too because she forced me to understand the ancient language in it. She would talk to me in it and I'm like, can you just, what do you want from me?
Absolutely calling her out at the moment.
No, we are going to, no, I need you to answer me in the ancient language. I'm like, I don't know this stupid made up language from this book. Just talk to me in English.
It's like God. When people learn like all the languages in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, or like bloody Klingon and
Star Trek and stuff like that. It's like, How about we just learn a real language first and then try and...
Look, I'm all good with anyone that wants to learn a fictional language. Go for it. Go for gold. But do not make me try to talk to you in that language, please. But
I agree with you. Like, that's a pretty cool thing to learn. But also, like, it also doesn't really have any real world kind of, like, you know, adaptations and skills to use at all.
Does Duolingo have any fictional languages yet?
I will look into it.
I'm avoiding that maniacal bird like the plague.
I'm up to day 108. 108 of French.
That's pretty good. Do you know any French?
Fromage is cheese.
I guess you know one word.
No, I do not. Thing is, I can read it really well. And I showed you the other day.
Like, yeah, I was reading some of it.
I can read a sentence super well, but saying it, I haven't picked up that skill yet where it's like, oh, I want you to say this sentence.
The important one.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least I'm learning. Like, if I went there, I'd be able to read, like, you know, menus and like, streets and how to get around. I'd be able to live in France. But in terms of, like, communicating, I'd probably struggle. I'd be able to say, like, one word out of, like, what I need and be like this. And I'd just focus on that. And I'd be like, please help.
And they would hate you.
I know. They would hate you for that in France. I have been to Paris, but... I didn't know any French when I went there, but luckily enough, you can get around Paris, not just knowing English, fine, completely fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
The expectation isn't as high in Paris.
God, no.
Go anywhere else, though.
It's a very international city, so no stress there. Yes, back to How to Train Your Dragon. So I watched the first one, I think, when it came out, which was about 2011 on DVD. And I didn't really appreciate it, and I didn't really remember much from it when it came out. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. And then when I watched all three in succession, I was like, okay, this makes better sense because I can appreciate the actual full story of Hiccup and his good friend, the Viking. And, yeah, I would thoroughly recommend it. It's a beautiful watch. It's quite good.
I'm trying to work out who Craig Ferguson is. Is he the dad?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I need to watch this again now that I appreciate the people that are in it. Oh, my God.
I've got the Blu-rays of all three. So that's how I watched them.
Right. Yeah, you came in and bought them. I was like, are you?
Yeah, I was like, I was down a rabbit hole. And I watched a couple of the behind-the-scenes voice, like, because they obviously voice act them and stuff. And they have that. And it's great to watch them in the booths, watching them record these characters come to life. Because a lot of the time when you see a character on screen and you hear the voice, you're like, oh, okay, it's that person. But then when you see, it's like when you see like Bradley Cooper do Rocket and they like get really into the character themselves. Like they actually do like the
physicality,
action, the physicality of actually doing those as well. It's great to see. And it's like, oh, okay, you're putting in a lot of effort into this. I actually appreciate that as well.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it.
Yeah, definitely do.
But like, you know.
I think most of them are on binge.
They're easy to find.
One, two, or three are on binge.
It's been a long time.
Just wanted to have them.
That's fair.
You know, special features, physical media. I love that.
Yeah, I bought a couple movies this week as well.
You did, yeah.
I bought Succession, which I previously mentioned, but I bought Mad Max 2 for one of our upcoming episodes.
Yes.
I bought The Devil Wears Prada because that's incredible and it's not on print anymore.
Mm.
Well, they're running out of the print of it because Disney owns it. And then I got Easy A. So.
Easy A. You finally picked up Easy A.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Deleted? Yeah.
No, actually.
It's just hard to find.
Just hard to get.
Hard to get. So you got all some great films there this week.
Oh, yeah. I've got good taste. I'll say that.
I've got some good taste.
Someone at work was like, oh, great films. I'm like, yeah. Like,
was it me when I turned up on Friday?
No.
I was like, great choices.
It was someone else. And I was like,
yeah.
Yes, I have good taste. Thank you. It is one of my few qualities.
It's one of the things you would hope to have after studying
and just giving
and watching a lot of films. it's a knack.
Yeah, so the other things I watched this week, Laura suggested I watch Outlander.
I've heard about this show for a while, but I've never actually sat down with it.
It's been on in my house a fair bit, but I hadn't sat and watched it like other people were watching it. But I watched the pilot episode this week and I really enjoyed it. I don't think I'll continue it.
It's quite long now. There's a heap of episodes.
But basically, the synopsis is Claire
Beauchamp.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't be bothered.
Let's say it's French.
I don't think she is.
It's not Scotland.
Anyway, she's a nurse in World War II and then she mysteriously goes back in time in Scotland in 1743. And there she meets a Highland warrior and they have their romance. Yeah. That's not what I got so much from the first episode. So basically, it starts off with her being a badass in the war and being a nurse. And then the war ends and she gets back with her husband, who she hasn't really spent a lot of time with because he's been off fighting and she's been being a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to rekindle their sort of love affair relationship. So they go off to the Scottish Highlands because he's a historian and I think she must be as well a bit. Like they're just really into into all of that. So they go off for like a little like honeymoon type thing. And then it's one of the holidays and I can't think which one it is because it's not the one that becomes Halloween because I can't pronounce that properly and I don't want to.
All Hallows Eve?
Samhain. I think I've mispronounced it. But anyway, it's not that. It's something else. But they go there and they hear these myths that at this old structure, similar to Stonehenge, but like the druids, the witches are going to do like their dance because it's like this thing. So they go and they watch, but they're like, oh, we probably shouldn't be watching because it's disrespectful. But they watch anyway. And then they go back. She goes back later the next day to get something. And then she gets transported back in time and suddenly she's trying to work out how she's going to survive in this time period that's clearly not the one that she's just come from. And along the way, she runs into who was her husband. But now as, he's sort of...
two characters.
Quote unquote, the enemy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's got to reckon with that and figure out what she's going to do. She hangs out with this hot guy. Oh, no. What's going to happen there? And that's sort of where it goes. But it reminded me strongly of a book series I read in... Well, I read the first one in high school called The Ancient Future, which is pretty much based on the same thing. Australian girl goes to... the English countryside on one of these
Halloween type seances.
Yeah. What is it? It's not Wiccan. It's sort of pagan holidays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, yeah, ends up back in time. So it sort of reminded me of those books, which I have been meaning to read because I only read the first one and I've got all three. They've been there since I was in high school.
It happens like that though. You're like, yeah, I've gone through the first one. I know the story.
I was a bit too young to read them. One of my teachers was like, you should enjoy this. And then like, I read it, but there was bits that went over my head because I was about 15 years old and they were definitely aimed at adults. Yeah. And so I read the first one, was like, that was good. And then the second and third, like they're chunky. They're like 600 pages.
So oh, wow. Just okay. Never, so they're big books. Yeah, yeah.
Never got to them. But this like, reminded me strongly of that. And I enjoyed it, but I just don't think with what I've got coming up this year to watch, I don't think it's something I will revisit.
That's more, it's a very big commitment, Outlander. It's quite a big show. It's a lot to do. And yeah, given our schedules that we've kind of looked forward, you know, forward thinking and what we're going to be watching in what kind of space, there's not going to be much time for an extra big show.
No,
like that.
But I did really enjoy this one. And it's like, thank you for suggesting it, Laura. And if anyone is into that kind of stuff, you will be into this. Also, it's quite a bit sexy. So
yeah, I've heard that. It's like, oh, it's a bit steamy.
Yeah, I'd be like, what is that? Oh, what are they? Oh, yeah, it's Outlander because I just hear sex on the surround sound speakers.
It's like when Game of Thrones, the first couple of seasons, it was very similar to that.
Yeah.
Like where it was mostly just like, here's some sex. Also, dragons?
Yeah. Never the twain shall meet.
No. Do not cross the swords. moving on.
Sorry. And then the other one I watched was a suggestion by Jackie, and it was Lockwood & Co., which is a show from 2023. And this is one that I hadn't even heard of and quite honestly probably wouldn't watch. So I'm glad that it was suggested.
Because
I like expanding my horizons and just knowing what's
out
there.
Well, so do I. That's why I watch certain things. I'm like, I would never watch that unless I kind of get suggested it or if it's linked to another actor or something, I'm like, I'll check that out.
So this one, like most of the other things we've watched this week, surprisingly actually, it was based on a book series and then adapted for screen. And this one's about Lucy, a girl with psychic ability who joins two boys, Anthony and George, and they have a ghost hunting agency called Lockwood & Co. And they fight... They fight deadly spirits plaguing London and they do their best to save the day without any adult supervision.
Yep.
This one felt like a show that I would have absolutely tuned in every week on ABC 3 when I was like 8, 9.
Yeah, it's aimed at like young adult. Maybe in terms of young, like 13.
Yeah, 10 to 13, like sort of that tween age. Yeah, I like not what I get I would probably tune into now to finish it, but it wasn't bad for what it is and the audience it has. It's quite good. So this girl, she sort of got sent off to this boarding school where they learn how to ghost hunt and stuff because her mum's like, just get this freak child out of here, basically.
Freak.
So she goes to that. She falls, like she has a friend and they hang out with the heaps and it's not romantic, but they're very tight. And then that friend dies. So she sort of cut up about that. She gets expelled from the school because the school like, oh, it was all her fault. And it's like, no, they were just bad. And then she goes back home and her mum's just not great. So she runs away and the only place she can find to board is this ghost hunting agency. These two boys that run it, and she sort of, they're sort of like smarmy, and she sort of holds her own against them.
Yeah, okay.
And it's sort of a back and forth between her first meeting them and then this current case they're on.
So it's an overarching plot. This is obviously, we looked this up just beforehand because I actually had no idea about this as well, is it's a Netflix show. So yes.
Sorry, didn't mention that.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's obviously was only one season. It got cancelled after last year's season. But I think that's more to the point I was trying to make is Netflix buried this clearly.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I didn't see anything about this. Like when you said, oh, we're like, this is one of the suggestions, I was like, I've never heard of this before.
That's the thing though. They're trying to get
it's like, really disappointing
a young audience onto Netflix. But what then, are they advertising for the children?
Exactly right. Like what do they've got for them? And then cancel them after, like clearly Netflix cancels shows quickly because they absolutely see the matrix in terms of like viewership, because it'd be like anything. You get the most amount of viewers in the first couple of days.
Yep.
And then it would drop off. I would assume in the first couple of days with this show, it didn't even meet any kind of expectations. So cool, nip it in the butt, cancel it.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the coin is I'm assuming they didn't give much in terms of marketing budget to this either.
No, that's the thing. They put like, a budget into shows.
It was kind of
shows,
destined to fail.
They don't market them and then they wonder why no one watches them.
It's a struggle in the streaming wars.
It is.
Like it really is.
Speaking of Netflix and stuff they're advertising, one thing they have done really well is Heartbreak High. It's getting season 3.
It is. Final season.
3 and final.
Yeah, 3 and final. But that show has gone gangbusters around the world.
Catch that before season 3.
I probably will.
Yeah.
Because I haven't watched it yet
funny
either.
Oh my God.
It's good. I'm glad when they give a show a definite end.
Yeah.
It means that the stories they want to tell becomes complete. It's not just like 3, and then we cancel it. Okay, that's all you're getting.
Their casts are huge. They're only getting bigger. Yeah. And also they're getting old. Like they're at least around my age, which is a lot older.
You are
than
getting
17.
Old, yeah.
So yeah, you can't have longevity with that if you want it to succeed.
I mean, you could expand the universe if it
and
was
have
something
different kids.
You know
yeah
what I mean? Like do
but
like a Skins
like
thing or
they
something
may
or
do that anyway because this is a revival of the 90s.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe in a few years they might redo it potentially.
They might lose the, you know, the new current vibe.
I think
what
so
I was thinking was like they could keep the characters but call it something else, mm-hmm, like do a spin-off series with some of these characters, expand the universe,
yep,
like build like a quote-unquote MCU type thing, yep, with this. If it was that popular and then, like you said, do a Skins thing where you bring in the new version of those like high school seniors.
Yeah.
They really could continue.
Like a Degrassi or something.
Yeah, exactly. So if they wanted to milk it, they could. But the other side of the coin is I think having a definite end also is really appreciative to the art.
Yeah, I respect it. Whenever someone's making a TV series and they go, this is when we're ending it,
yeah,
and they end it, like, yeah, it sucks because you love it, but at least you can love all, like, however many seasons and not be like, oh, I really loved the first three and
it's
then
like
I hated
that's
it.
That's the story,
yeah,
right? Like, it's like, cool, that's the whole complete thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Breaking Bad. They knew they were going to do 5.
Mm.
And, yeah, it worked in their favor because it was a complete story from start to finish. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's about it from our watching week. So thank you so much for the you suggest it, we stream it.
Yeah,
week.
We might do another one of these down the line because I had a lot of fun just watching random
honestly
bits of things that
yeah
you guys want to talk about and want us to have a chat about. So, yeah, if we touch on any points that resonate with you guys, write in. We'll write back and
yep
we can have a back and forth a little bit if we've missed anything.
Yeah, these are the things that you kind of obviously get into. So we're happy to watch it. And if there's, yeah, like you said, any points that we might have missed or some little tidbits that you're aware of that we're not, write in. We can mention it on next week about it or something like that. And yeah, we'll definitely do it again. So more people that listen, give us more of your suggestions on our Instagram page and stuff like that, because that's how we know.
And if there's anything you want to see us do that we haven't yet done, please let us know. If there's stuff that you miss from the first one, like first season of us doing this, let us know. We'll try and incorporate some stuff
yeah
back in. We really just want to make...
Some of you might even miss the trivia. Who knows?
Oh, Lord. But yeah, no, we just want to make stuff that you guys really want to see. So we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a moldable podcast and we're just happy to talk about movies, films and TV.
We're just happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here. People are listening to me. That's rare.
No. And as always, thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying this podcast, please give it a follow. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok at BingeLists or email us at BingeList and BoxOfficeHits@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and have a good week.
Thanks, guys.